in Luke 8, 4 through 18. This parable is meant for you. We're going to read together verses 4 through 18 and then look at this parable this morning, what it means and what God is trying to teach us through this parable. Let's look starting in verse 4. As a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock. When it grew up, it withered away, since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground. When it grew up, it produced fruit, 100 times what was sown." As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen." Then his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" So he said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but to the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." A confusing passage we'll get to here in just a moment. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing is hidden that won't be made known and brought to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. This morning, a somewhat familiar parable. If you've been in church for any length of time, maybe you've heard this parable before. Of the sower who throws out seed and it lands on 4 different types of ground. And this parable is an interesting story, and I love this particular parable because the disciples ask questions that we're already asking. I'm thankful that they took just a moment to inquire, what does this parable mean? And this morning we have to ask that question, what is the parable of the sower about? But what are we actually looking at here? Is it just a nice story and kind of an illustration, but an illustration of what? And I love that the disciples asked that question in Luke 8, 9. His disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? This question is a more important question than you possibly realize when you're just reading through. It's an indication that the disciples were wanting to know more about Jesus. They were not content just to hear a story, nod their heads, and move on. They heard a parable and it confused them. And so they wanted to know what the meaning was. Jesus gives them an interesting answer in verse 10. One that maybe is a little difficult for us to read and to fathom. Because when we're taught what is the purpose of a parable, normally we're taught in Sunday school or as children, a parable is an earthly story to give a heavenly meaning. It's a nice illustration so that we can more fully understand. It's like when the preacher gives an illustration in his sermon. It helps tie some things together. And sometimes parables do that. But if you're like me, sometimes you read parables and you walk away more confused than when you started. Jesus, what are you talking about seeds? What do you mean a sower and throwing things on the ground? And what exactly are you trying to communicate to us? Your parable did not help me. Maybe it made me more confused. It's interesting that Jesus says that's the point of the parable. Look at verse 10. So he said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, the disciples, to know. But to the rest, it is in parables, so that," listen to the purpose, "looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." You ever thought that Jesus speaks in parables, not only to better explain things to those who are understanding and looking, but also to keep some things hidden? I mean, that's what he says here. I speak in parables so that those may look and not see, those may hear and not understand. It's important for us to gather from this question that the disciples ask Jesus. What does this parable mean? That Jesus looks back at them and says, your question proves the point of the parable. Those who take the time to ponder what the parable is, it will be revealed to them. Those who dig into the Word and want to know more, God will reveal. But those who on the surface are listening but not truly seeking, those who just want a good story, it's going to separate them. It's going to reveal to them that they're not genuinely looking, that they're not genuinely believing. Jesus says the point of the parable is so that we will take time to dig into the meaning of His words. That's why He says in verse 18, therefore, take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. Whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. You know, Jesus says, whoever has, more will be given to him. This is not a statement about wealth. This is a statement about faith. This does not mean if you have money and you believe in Jesus, you will have more money. This means if you are genuine in your faith, God will increase that faith. Those who seek Christ will find him in abundance. If you truly are digging into the Word of God, He will make it alive. He will show it to you and reveal it to you. If you take time to ask the questions like the disciples asked, what does this mean? We will be given more and more understanding. But those who lazily hear and make no effort to understand will miss Christ altogether. It says those who are just present to hear a good story, it will separate them from those who have genuine faith. You know, there is no such thing as lazy Christianity. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as showing up to listen to a sermon and walking away unchanged. That is not found anywhere in Scripture. Genuine faith produces diligent people of faith. And so this morning, our first thought is to ask, do we really want to know what the Word says? Are we really asking, what is the parable of the sower about? Are we reading on a surface level, just trying to hear a good story to get through and to move on? I'm thankful that the disciples asked this question because Jesus gives us the answer as He promised He would do. And so He tells us the story is primarily about two things. The first is how you receive the Word. If you're taking notes in your bulletin, you can write, what is the meaning of this parable? The first is how you receive the Word. There's an important application here that not everybody who hears the Word actually receives and accepts the Word. Not all soil that has seed thrown on it actually produces a plant that bears fruit. And so Jesus explains the parable in this way in verses 11 through 15. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. By the way, you can also interpret that or apply it this way. The seed is the gospel message, the truth of what God wants you to know. The seed is salvation that is proclaimed to the people. This is the meaning. The seed is the Word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. It's very clear that this first seed doesn't get thrown on soil at all. It gets thrown on a compact path where there's no ability for the seed to sink in. And so there are some people who hear it, it's scattered, but they never receive it. And it says the devil comes and picks it away. Just like the birds come and eat the seed off the path, the world and the temptations of the world and the evil powers themselves convince us we don't need it. And we never accept it, we never believe, and are never saved. It says the seed on the rock in verse 13 are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. You know, these people hear the word and get excited about the message. They're excited that Jesus Christ has offered salvation, and they quickly hurry through to receive the word. However, eventually, because they've not really received and not really taken root and not really accepted it fully, instead they fall away. It says they fall away in a time of testing. Temptation and sin has entered into their life, and they'd rather go back to their life of sin. They'd rather continue in their unforgiveness and continue in their old way of thinking. They're not ready to accept the forgiveness of God because they're not wanting to change. While it's not as blunt in this verse as it was with the seed on the path, we do recognize that these who fall away were never genuinely bearing fruit, never genuinely in Christ, and they were never genuinely Christians. He says in the next verse, the seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life. They produce no mature fruit. These people also hear and want to accept the message, but aren't willing to give up the pleasures and the riches of life. They're not willing to accept Christ as Lord and say, I want what you want, God. I want to do what you want. And so as they begin to even think about growing, the thorns suppress them. The worries suppress them. The pleasures and the desires suppress them. And they never genuinely grow and produce fruit. Again, these seeds, while eagerly wanting to hear, never accept Christ and are not believers. They're choked away and do not produce fruit. Then finally, the four seeds are the ones in the good ground. These are the ones who having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it and by enduring, produce fruit. These are the ones who take root, who grow, and there is nothing that can pluck them away. It says the ones who hold on and endure. Now, this doesn't mean if you ever fall away or ever have sin in your life, you somehow lose your salvation. It's quite the opposite. What it means is those who genuinely have salvation will endure. By evidence of their endurance, they are genuine believers. And so the question is, how will you receive the word? How are you listening to this word? You know, these four seeds, these four different types of soil, are representative of you and I. Those on the path never accepted it to begin with. They don't want to hear it and don't want to know it. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning being drugged to church for some reason or another. You're here out of obligation, or you're here because of a family member who invited you or maybe forced you to be here. But you don't really want the message. You don't really want to hear. I'd venture and say most people in most churches, as they're sitting here, are not seeds that fell on the path. They want to at least hear a little bit. But maybe this morning you know of people, or you have been a person who has rejected the message of the gospel. Those that fell on the rocks, the ones that couldn't take root, that never genuinely put down roots and accepted the message, really they had a lack of understanding of forgiveness. They didn't realize that their sins were forgiven. As they start to grow, it says that they have no root. They have no genuine understanding of what God has done for them. And so maybe you're sitting here saying, I want to believe that Jesus is my Savior, but He just doesn't know all that I've been through. I want to trust that I'm forgiven, but my faith in myself is stronger than my faith in God. My faith in my works, my faith in my lack of works, is so much stronger than the root that is my faith in Christ. Or maybe you're like the seed that's fallen among the thorns. You never have understood what lordship is. You're more worried about the pleasures and things of the world, that you cannot submit to the will of Christ. And so as you grow, you have distractions, you have things that pull you away, things that keep you from a genuine faith. And so you start to get choked with worries because maybe you're not good enough. You start to get choked with desires because there are other things that are more important. You start to get choked because you have not trusted Jesus as your Lord. But the fourth seed is what I hope we would all come to a realization of. that God's desire for our lives is to trust Him both as Savior to forgive our sins and as Lord to lead and guide our lives. Our hope is that we would be good soil and we would receive the Word with eagerness, understanding that even though we continue to sin, we are no longer defined by our sin and we are no longer sinners. I hope that we would come to realize that although we stumble, that our God has given us a plan through His Word on how to live, and that we would follow that Word, make Him our Lord, and submit to His will for our lives. Not that long ago, I had someone come in and ask me, actually in the account in Mark, tells a similar parable. Which of these seeds, and which are saved and which are not saved? And we read through and we looked, and the truth is, you cannot be a Christian without accepting Jesus as both Savior of your sins and Lord of your life. And so the seeds that are on the rock that can't accept that forgiveness, that put more faith in themselves than they do in God, they cannot be believers. Those seeds that fall among the thorns, although they begin to grow somewhat, that are so choked away by the pleasures and desires, that are wanting their lives to be how they want with their own pleasures, they cannot be genuine believers. However, those of you who will be like the disciples and say, Lord, I want to know more. I want to genuinely accept and follow You. Those are the seeds that are receiving the Word, growing, and it says, bearing much fruit. The parable is primarily about how you receive the Word. But there's more to it than that. Jesus also wants us to know that the parable is also about how you sow the Word. If you are good soil and you have received the Word, this parable is also a reminder that you must be sowing. You must be sharing. You must be scattering seeds. You know, each parable, each story seems to have a central character or a central figure in the parable. And so it's important as you're studying Scripture to ask, who is the main person in this story? And as you read through it, there's really only one person mentioned. We've got birds, they're certainly not the main character. You've got seeds, they're not much of a character. The main person in this parable is found in verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed. Now this sower may be Jesus Christ in this context, sharing the gospel message, but this sower may very well be you and I, who are supposed to be going out and sowing the seed of the Word of God, sharing the gospel message with others. This is a parable to remind us, someone has to cast the seeds. Someone has to share the message. Someone has to talk about this Word, this gospel that God has given us. And so this parable is also about how we sow, how we evangelize, how we share our faith. Going right in this parable with no breath, Jesus explains a parable, and at the end of verse 15, jumps into this in verse 16. Without stopping, as part of the parable, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. Jesus says, if you have seeds, if you have the Word, or in this case, if you have light, nobody hides that light. We have some rooms in our house that are brighter than others, and our living room has no overhead light like most living rooms don't. So we've got several lamps, and we've played around. Let's put a bright one here, and let's put bulbs in this brightness here, and let's put a lamp over there to try to get the right lighting. And maybe you've done that in your own house, especially when you first move in, to try to get things lit well. How many of you all put your lamp in your dark room, plug it in, get the lighting right, and then take a blanket and cover that lit lamp? Anybody do that? Has anybody ever tried that, just out of curiosity? That sounds like the dumbest idea anyone's ever shared, isn't it? That's what Jesus is saying. No one takes a lamp and covers its light. That defeats the purpose of the light. And likewise, no one having the gospel message, no one having the Word of God should conceal it or hide it. There is no reason for us to put away our seed, to hide our seed. There's no reason for us to keep the Word of God to ourselves. This parable is about how we sow the Word. Are you sharing the Word? But Pastor, how do we know what kind of ground my seed is going to fall on? What if they reject me? What if it falls on the path and they don't want to listen to it? Your job's not to be the soil when you're the sower. What if it's cast on the ground with rocks? What if it's in the midst of thorns? What if a person never receives? Well, your job as a sower is not to figure out who's good soil and who's bad. Your job is to cast the seed. Your job is to share the message. So this morning, our parable is about more than just receiving the word. It's about sharing the word. What are we doing to communicate clearly what the word of God is and the gospel message? This morning, as we come to a close, as we think about this parable of the sower, let's first make sure that we have accepted the word of God fully. Let's first make sure that we are the good soil who has trusted Christ, not only as Savior and forgiver of our sins, but also as Lord and King, the leader of our lives. And then once we have Him, let's ask, what kind of fruit is God calling me to bear, and how am I sowing that seed to share it with others? Let's pray together. Father, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the salvation that we can have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray we would no longer just ask surface questions. I pray that we wouldn't just hear Your word and let it sit. Lord, that we would seek out the truth of what Your word says. And Lord, in doing so, it divides those who genuinely trust You and those who are just here for obligation. Lord, we pray that we would receive the word as Savior and Lord, that we would understand that we are completely forgiven, and that You have given us righteousness, and that You have given us a way to live. Lord, we submit to You this morning, and we promise that we would take this word and share it with those who have not heard it. Lord, we thank You for salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray that we would receive it and share it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.